Welcome back to another episode of The Scenario. We are back. We are back in your ear holes. All that good stuff. What's going on, my brother Matt?
We out here, man. Still cooking.
Like, how much are we cooking, Armin?
Like, in comparison to, like, something else? Like, are we, like, catfish and spaghetti right now? Let me not say that, because a lot of people would be like, what the hell that mean? Y'all got to get... That's a St. Louis thing.
We just had an argument over the weekend about that. Like, what is... Like
around here, if I say we cooking like catfish and spaghetti, cats like, oh, yeah, y'all really doing it big. Other places would be like, that mean your life out of order? Like, what's that? What's that really mean?
Or are you cooking with fish grease? What place is that cool? Is that
you cooking with fish grease? You really got it popping for real.
You at next level, as they say.
Yeah.
Thank y'all for listening as always. Appreciate everyone, all the love and all the comments that we've been getting out there. Make sure y'all get into the OG hour. If you have not seen it, you can. If you don't listen to it on this podcast area, and you can also get on YouTube just like you do on this show. But if you want to see us kicking it with pace, go to our YouTube page, SOLC and The Scenario YouTube page. You can see us doing the not necessarily live but taped version of the show with Orlando Pace. But as always, I'm Daryl Frierson.
Matt Whiten in the building.
I know this intro is all messed up, y'all, but hey,
I'm gonna turn Daryl into like an anchor. Daryl gonna be in like CNN Black.
Oh, man, I get it, man.
We're gonna get CNN Black in like the next 3 years. Eventually, they're gonna be like, you know what? We ain't putting y'all news on here no more.
When it's just CNN Black.
When Fuhrer Trump goes into his second.
Fuhrer Trump.
Into his second term because.
The Fuhrer.
Because we can't get things together. Mike Pence comes out as the Red Skull. Like, everything's gonna be just. Legit all over the place.
Like Pence is the Red Skull. Damn, that's some heavy shit.
Can't you see it though? Like, look at next time you see Mike Pence, look him in the face.
Let me Google it.
And then pull up a picture of Hugo Weaving when he was the Red Skull. And just imagine Mike Pence pulling his face off and being the Red Skull underneath there.
I'm just going to put in Google Mike Pence Red Skull and see if somebody else is smart enough to go ahead and give us the imagery for that. Somebody's already done it.
Good.
Yeah, they put Mike Pence and Red Skull next to each other.
Yeah, it's the same person, right?
Yeah, no, they are. They didn't do it exactly how you. They just said that they just brought his picture. Mike Pence is Red Skull. Somebody put it on Twitter, and then they just put the picture. But nobody did.
He's also Race Bannon.
Ooh. Wow. We gonna go there.
He is, Doug. It's fine.
Well, like I said, you can go to YouTube and subscribe to our YouTube page if you want to see the video. Especially from the OG hour, we'll be having more video up of our podcast as well.
Yo, the show's going to be going straight multi-platform. Like, we've been kicking around the can about when we can do it, how we're going to do it. The show's going, like, straight multi-platform.
You can get it everywhere.
Within the next month. Like, it's going to be, you know what I'm saying, it's going to be not so much just a pure podcast where you'll always be able to catch the show on podcast, but it's also going to be something that you can stream, that you can have going on. Like, a lot of big things are happening here, but, you know, what we're going to be doing is starting off with the scenario. OG Hour is going to be around. We're going to be having some new platform for Orlando, though, that's going to be coming up soon. Not saying that the OG Hour necessarily has to stop, but there's going to be a new platform coming for him, too. But, you know, a lot of new things are going to be rolling out here in the first half of 2019. Like, business is going to pick up.
It's picking up. It feels like it's almost like it's like that new stripper that came into the club. And everybody's talking about her. And like, I'm going to Onyx to see Candy Rain. That's how we are right now.
What happened? You're doing
I
what?
I said it's like the new stripper that comes in the strip club that everybody keeps talking about.
Oh, I thought you said you were going to be singing Candy Rain.
No, I said her name was Candy Rain, the stripper's name. I was like, I'm going to go see Candy Rain at Onyx.
Hey, it's Lent. Are you giving up anything?
Not a damn thing.
Okay. Yes, it's in my religion, though. See, here's the thing.
That's a good point.
Here's the thing. There's a lot of people be like, I'm doing this for Lent. I'd be like, do you know what Lent is? And they'd be sitting there looking like it's like, a diet, a time to go on a diet. Like, no, that's not what it is at all.
Ain't supposed to get you a bikini body ready for the
like
the
whatever spring. You need it for. I guess God's like, hey, I created things. Like, use them how you will. I don't know. Like, it's whatever. But
so what are you disclosing what you're giving up?
I'm gonna be adding something. See, because everything is about giving something up. It's about adding something.
Oh, wow, what are you adding?
You can add things as well. I'm gonna make sure that I get 20 minutes meditation in every day, no matter what.
Okay, is that total nothing? No, total clearness?
There's different types of meditation, yeah, right? But I mean, what type of meditation? No, I'm going to do all different sorts. Like, okay. There's going to be different ones. Like, there's like 21-day plans you can do and stuff like that, but I'm good. I've already got like a bunch of practices that I use already. I'm just going to make sure that every day I dedicate that time to it.
20 minutes of meditation. Okay. That's better than, man.
I'm going to give up candy as well. I'm going to add something and give up something too. So I'm going to give up candy.
It's not like people that I know somebody that gave up Popeyes.
See, like, if you're eating Popeyes enough that you need to give it up.
No, it was so low hanging because it was like two Popeyes and they goddamn state. But, and they were like, I ain't going to drive all the way to the side of the state to get Popeyes.
See, that's that bullshit right there, right? No, I know. Like, when you giving up something, that's like me being sitting here in the middle of, like, I'm giving up Zaxby's. There ain't a Zaxby's within fucking 2 hours of where I'm at. Like, come on, man. You can't give up something that you're not doing regularly as is. That's why I say that people then took the holiday and giving it to themselves.
Yeah, you got to figure out a better way of what you're going to get. But I'm not giving them nothing, man. I'm not
arguing with my lady no more. Like, yes, you are. You just said that. Now you definitely are.
You 100% are.
Yeah.
It ain't no doubt about it that you will be. But yeah, shout out to everybody that's been listening. Holding us brothers down. Let's go and jump into the emails. We do have emails.
Whoop, whoop, email alert.
Yeah, we got some emails, man. Pace got a whole... I'm about to make Pace a whole different folder in the goddamn thing, man. Just because the people just...
How many did he get?
He got three already, and we've only had it up.
For like...
Yeah, so, and we may not have it for another 3-4 weeks, so you got people that's going to listen.
For like 18 hours.
Yeah, so it's going to be... ridiculously over time.
Hey, he always appreciates that. He always asks me right after the show come out two things, like, how's the show doing, and is folks feeling it? And that's like a way of being like, how many emails are coming in for?
it's borderline almost narcissistic. Where it's like,
he just wants to know if people are like checking it out,
situation,
and are like, all right, so what's up with it? So,
no, people definitely feeling it, man.
He enjoys the questions. The questions are good.
Yeah, so it's good for the peoples. Next up, this one is from V. Miller. He says, hey, I wanted to chime in on the Black History Month draft. Yo, that Black History Month draft is getting
shout out
a lot of run.
Shout out to it.
Now, I don't even know if there could be a category added to this, but can we add Black Porn Star to next year's Black History Month draft? I don't know how much you all want to go that deep into the cauldrons, but it'd be nice to see. Velcro.
Go for it.
Yo, that's actually decent.
I just it would have been hard for me to
But now we know we can think about it over to the next year, though.
Yeah, right? Like, it would have been hard for me to lay, like, one of them next to, like, Jackie Robinson, and I'd be like, ugh.
But, I mean, fuck it, though.
Black history?
Look, there's been some historical black porn stars.
Oh, for sure. For sure. For sure.
Like, that's got a lot of brothers and other nationalities through some rough times.
And some ladies.
Yeah.
A lot of ladies.
A lot of ladies through some rough times.
Yeah.
So, that's what I'm saying. We may have to add that one to the foray.
There's brackets for that. It ain't going to be a bracket for this show, but those brackets are out there.
Have
I've
they ever
seen
done
them.
A black porn star bracket?
Yeah. Oh,
they did one? Oh, just for black porn stars? Just black.
Yeah.
I know they did the one we disputed.
No, I've seen other ones.
How was that one? Was it pretty?
I didn't spend a lot of time.
Spend a lot of time looking at
it. Yeah.
I mean, really, if you're talking about getting that paper, we only talking about one porn star, and that's Heather Hunter. She really broke open the... That's what I said. She's an all-star. Heather Hunter.
Heather Hunter is like the George Mikan of black porn stars. Like,
she wasn't the first, but she was the one to get that.
Like Bob Cousy then. George Mikan was the first star. Like, then okay. The others had played the
game.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, no, because she's the first one that's a star.
So then she's George Mikan.
Yeah, she's the first one that became a star. Like, were you like, damn, black girls can be stars. In
first
porn.
Time in history somebody's laid George Mikan next to Heather Hunter.
Look,
you're
Heather
welcome.
And the thing is about, actually, Heather Hunter may be Jim Brown, more likely. Because she had a short career, though. That's what people don't know. She was only in, like, 3 years.
Yeah, but, I mean...
And it had that much of an impact, like Jim Brown.
She wasn't the first star, though. I mean, Jim Brown wasn't the first star. There were stars.
Right, but I was thinking career-wise, like, how she wasn't in it that long, but her impact has been known. She's the first one to get real money for a black porn star.
Okay.
So, it's George Mike and Jim Brown. I wouldn't say she's Jackie Robinson. That's
no,
too
we're not
far.
Doing that.
Because she's not... And she's not. I'm sure we can research who was the first black porn star. you know, to give her her respect.
Ethel,
shut the fuck up.
Ethel Sugarfire from Mobile, Alabama, was on an old 8x10-inch film, tossing it back.
Like, hey, giving it up. Last email for this week comes from Kevin Marcus. He says, you all's podcast should be on a higher level. I swear to God. You guys had me rolling while I was rolling into work the other morning. How do you all even think and describe some of the things you all are talking about on this level? I know me and my friends have certain discussions, but for you all to convey it the way you all do on the podcast is phenomenal. Keep with doing what y'all do. Shout out to you, Kevin Marcus, man.
Appreciate it, bro. A lot of alcohol and a lot of bandwidth for ridiculousness. It really
and helps. Also a lot of dumb. We got a lot of ridiculous things that we've all experienced in different travels, different, you know, things that just happen.
And things find us, too.
And that you 100%.
Like, we have a lot of people that, like, send things to us. Like, yo, y'all might want to know about this.
Or hey, I got a story for you, and it's somebody else's story, but they don't want it. They want the world to know,
but they can't bring it up themselves, and they know we will. They know we will. Yeah.
So their vanity is a little bit with that as well. Like,
yeah, people being in other people's business is a lot of our clientele. Hey, I've done the search, and it says that Desiree West was the first black porn star.
Shout out to Desiree West
in 1976.
Shout out to Desiree West putting in work
early. You see, porn is a young game still.
Yeah,
it's a young game still. Yeah,
I think the first technical porn is silent porn.
No, but we're talking about what it is now. Like, it's a young game. It's a young game. Like, it didn't really pop up until it was in the theaters in the 70s. Yeah. And so the porn game is like kind of like the video game, right? So it's like everything you used to have to go to the arcades to get it. You wasn't gonna get a whole lot. It wasn't gonna come at home. But then they had Nintendo drop, and that's like porn. So then the tapes came home, but then, like, the porn industry became an internet thing, just like gaming became a online interactive thing. Yo, so, like, the moral of this story is, if you want to know where porn's going, look at where video games is at, which means it's going to be some VR porn coming soon.
It's already out there.
I'm talking about on a mass level.
Oh, you're saying everybody can just copy.
Yeah. It's going to be like Ready Player One. It's going to be Ready Player 69.
Ready Player 69. Hey, you fucking right, because they'll flip your motherfucking title real quick and make them be avatars fucking, and you're one of the avatars.
Right.
And you can fuck somebody else's avatar out in cyberspace. Actually, we just probably gave poor people an idea right now.
We probably just gave away enough money that could have changed the lives of our entire family, but that's what we're here for.
Yeah. That's all it for the emails, man. All
right, man. So, hey, first things first, I know you peeped the Game of Thrones trailer.
Yo,
did we know that was happening? Because, like, I just got on HBO Go, and it was up at the top of the screen. I was like, yo, when did this drop?
Oh, it just came out yesterday.
No, I know, but, like, was there, like, anything around it, or did they just, like, drop it on Twitter?
They just dropped it, like, here y'all go. Just blaze one for the nation.
It was like some Jordans at halftime of, like, the All-Star game.
There you go.
And you're like, damn, if you ain't got the app, you're not going to see this.
Can't get it.
What'd you think about it?
It looked awesome, man. I don't want to see any more. I don't want no more trailers, which I'm glad they really kind of kept things secretive.
They said episode 3 is the episode, though.
Yeah, that's the one. They said it's supposed to be bigger than Helm's Deep from
Hard Home.
No, it's going to be bigger than Helm's Deep from The Lord of the Rings. They said it's more epic than Helm's Deep.
Oh, no, I know. But, like, they're talking about, like, there's fight scenes. They said it took them 29 days to film Battle of the Bastards. To 55 days to shoot this.
Helm's Deep was like something around there too. In Twin Towers of
I don't remember that movie.
You don't remember that? No.
I mean, Lord, I saw it, but
that was an epic. That was fucking half the movie. Damn near was the fucking.
Yo, I believe it. I just I missed Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings. Like, they were really? There. They were there, but I was mid teenage.
Those fight scenes, man, are ridiculous. It's a lot of fucking walking. If you just go through the walk-in parts and just get to the fight scenes.
Oh, their cardio's on another level in Lord of the Rings. Like, they straight set out on a quest. That's a fucking quest. Like, they just walked. It's like, the motherfuckers.
Because you know that shit took like 5 to 10 years, though, for all that shit to happen.
Yeah, and they walked the whole time.
They walked the whole time.
They spent a decade walking around fighting people.
Motherfuckers had kids and everything back at the crib. They forgot about. Motherfuckers show back up. All them hobbits show back up. Motherfuckers was out of high school and shit. Like, damn, you out of high school?
Niggas I'm 20.
Nigga, I'm 28. Like, oh, damn.
Like, hobbit beards and, like, illegitimate kids. Somebody was at Jiffy Lube that you thought was going to go off to play ball in college, but he couldn't quite make it. So now he at the Jiffy Lube, and he'd be at happy hour on Thursday nights.
Yeah, man, but that, I can't wait to see that third episode, man. Like,
but you know what? The crazy thing about it is that the first episode going to be slow. First episode going to be slow, even though it's going to be an hour and a half. It's going to be slow by comparison. But third episode going to be flames. You know the fifth episode going to be flames. Mm-hmm. Fifth episode is going to be the most flames.
Yeah.
And then six is going to have a cliffhanger.
And it's going to just kind of try to tie up loose ends but give you a cliffhanger?
It's going to give you a cliffhanger. Because it's going to be the rally point off of the fifth episode. And you know the reason why I say the fifth episode is going to be crazy. Because it's always the episode before last with Game of Thrones.
So, okay. I mean, I know we're going to move on in a second. But what's the most ridiculous theory you've heard from just random people?
That Tyrion ends up on the Iron Throne.
I got one more ridiculous than that.
That the Night King ends up on it?
Nope. That the Night King ends up getting with fucking, what you call her? I can't remember her fucking name now.
Sansa?
No, not Sansa.
Sansa looks like she'd have a thing for the Night King.
Shut the fuck up.
Like, he's powerful. He's kind of mysterious. Oh, he doesn't talk very much.
Damn, I can't fucking remember.
Like, if the Night King was like a senior and Sansa was a sophomore in high school, she'd be all about the Night King. Sansa's the ditziest, dumbest chick in the history of TV. And then she spent her offseason playing Jean Grey. Like, she
Cersei. Somebody said that she would end up working with the Night King and they end up being together.
That's ridiculous. The Night King.
That's ridiculous. He's just about destruction.
The Night King
he's the Borg.
The Night King.
He's the Borg. Yes. Like, remember, our Star Trek fan, you know, they don't give a fuck about no alliances. They just about destruction.
The Night King is basically LeBron James.
Explain this for people that may that are non-sports fans.
So, like, LeBron James is like, I'm in it for me, right? I'm going to go wherever I want to. Anything I touch, I'm going to make what I think it should be. It should be in my image. And when I'm done with it, I'm moving on and fucking something else up. That is the story of LeBron James.
And I don't give a fuck if they die either, though.
So, but, like, here's the thing. No, doesn't care at all. Like, look at what he did. Like, look at what he's left in his wake. Like, Miami and Cleveland ain't been no better for LeBron James ever stopping through there.
Dwayne Wade had to leave.
The only thing better for LeBron James stopping through it is Akron. And that was years ago. That don't count.
And he built a school there, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big thing. But here's the thing about this Game of Thrones trailer. Mm-hmm. Why is it, like, more exciting than the entire Democratic presidential ticket? Like, when you look at the cast of characters of Game of Thrones on that little ad they had where everybody's sitting on the throne and you're like, oh, shit, this is hot. Like, oh, I can't believe this is happening. And then you look at how the Democratic presidential ticket is shaping up. Ain't nobody looked at Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, Amy Klobuchar, John Delaney, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and Andrew Yang and been like, oh, shit, this season finna be off the chain.
You know who's sitting in the rafters like Sting, though, looking at this stuff?
Joe Biden.
You goddamn right. That's who. He's sitting up there watching, like, he gonna get in, like, the day before, like, the last day.
But, like, don't forget about, then in between all
Beto
this stuff.
Too? You talking about Beto?
No, he ain't gonna get in this race. Yeah. But the Howard Schultz, who's sitting out there being the best Democratic candidate for these Democratic, like,
for the independent.
For, like, moderate Democratic values. But he's like, nah, I ain't aligning with that shit. He's like he's like the Anthony Davis of this whole thing. Where okay. He's like, all right, man, I'm out here, but I'm really not. Like, I might be down with your team, but I'm not putting your jersey on. Because y'all shit kind of fucked up, and I don't really want to be a part of it.
So is he kind of a milder version of Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Stone Cold Steve Austin is definitely Donald Trump.
I was saying he's an outsider, but like
Beto O'Rourke is like The Rock. Where he's cool as hell. Not Beto O'Rourke, I'm sorry. Howard Schultz is like The Rock. He's like, he's cool as hell. I'm trying to just, you know, get in and be where I need to be.
Yeah, I just need to get the bill.
Yeah, like, my time is coming. My time is coming. Like, I'm going to fight Triple H for, like, another summer, and then I'll jump up there and deal with him.
And then I'm going to go act and then drop the...
Bernie Sanders is the Undertaker. A lot of people get really excited to see him.
Let me write this down. We need to do the Democratic candidates as wrestlers.
We can do that. That's fine. It's going to get ugly soon, though. Like...
So who... Let's do a small, quick one real quick before we go into the topics. Who is Cory Booker offhand?
He's Booker T.
I don't know if he's charismatic as Booker T is.
I mean, but Booker T never quite got to the middle of the thing, but people always talk. Like, you talk
what about
like,
these D'Lo Brown?
Cory Booker. Cory Booker is Randy Orton. No. Where he just kind of is always.
Say, what about Amon Johnson?
No, these cats was never champions. I'm talking about
Amon
people
Johnson
that.
Was a champion, wasn't he?
No, hell no. Fuck no. He was Intercontinental champion. Okay. I'm talking about world champion. Okay. He's Randy Orton then. because he's like always kind of like right there, and you know he's around. Like I always look at Randy Orton and Carmelo Anthony as being the same dude.
Ooh, so it's interesting. Like, I'm intrigued.
Where it's like they're great, and it's like, oh yeah, you can do the things we need to do, but you're never gonna win a championship on your own. Like Randy Orton wins the title when they don't have anybody else to win the title.
Okay.
Like they realized early on that he wasn't gonna be like he was gonna be a Hall of Famer, but he wasn't gonna ever be the dude that was just like
to carry the company.
We're gonna sell tickets because Randy Orton is champion. That's Cory Booker. Cory Booker's never gonna carry the company. He's just gonna be around.
So
forever.
Who's Kamala Harris?
I don't even know if Kamala Harris is a world championship contender. See.
Well, I mean, she was leading in the first general poll.
She's like Kevin Nash, then Diesel. She's going to be running the title for a long time, but she's not necessarily ever going to be somebody that's like, when you think about great champions, you don't think about Diesel. You think about him as an outsider.
No, you do. And you just think about him being a part of the corporation.
Elizabeth Warren is Bret the Hitman Hart. Okay. Lack of charismatic ability, but she can kind of execute and get things done.
You know, all the technical stuff she got when it comes to being a politician and how to work the government system, that's a good one. Bret the Hitman Hart is Liz Warren's a good one.
Yeah, she's Bret the Hitman Hart. And I got to be honest, I don't know enough about the rest of these motherfuckers, which is a
problem.
The
one chick that says
I know this dude, Julian Castro, looked like an 18th century war general.
Yeah, that's it.
He looks like he's trying to win back the Spanish territories in early America.
So we're looking at Sting coming out the Raptors. He gonna sit there like for like another year in the Raptors, how he would like in some episodes where he just sit there and don't come down and do nothing.
I don't know what he gonna do. So yeah, it's the same feeling I had with Sting. Joe Biden, in 97.
Because he would sit there for maybe like 5, 6, 7 episodes, just sitting there.
Yo, let's talk about Sting real quick before we turn the corner on this. Like he had the best job on earth for a year. He didn't have to wrestle at all for like a year. He just dressed, put on face paint, sat up in the motherfucking rafters and watched other people and pointed a bat at them for a year. He got a paid fucking vacation.
And got to dress up and kick it.
Got to still kick it and still got to come to work and hang out with his people. And like, Ted Turner wasn't writing no punk ass checks. Like, he was getting paid big money just to be a plot device.
Because I know that WWE was definitely trying to get in for a long time at that time.
Right. Like, he was a plot device. He was like the uncle that come to dinner and don't ever talk, but he just always there. You know he gonna show up on time.
The fool said that he was in there getting a check.
So, real quick before we turn the corner away from this, the Lakers season has gone in the toilet. It's gone completely in the toilet. And I think that it's like the reality of this whole thing coming to full fruition.
Yeah,
fruition.
Yeah,
so, let's put it that way. To me, I like the fact that it lets me know that no one man can just will the league to be whatever he wants it to be. Like, you can't just say, hey, I'm going to go and play for the whatchamacallits, and they're going to become world beaters.
Because it's because I'm that dope.
Like, it don't work that way. It don't work that way, bro. Like, you're going to have to, like, you can't just, everything you touch isn't going to turn to gold. You do not have the Midas touch. And, like, I got no ill will against LeBron. I think LeBron gets a bad rap. I'm going to talk about LeBron a little bit more later on. But I'm going to say this right now. If LeBron was one of the kings that are one of the people that are chasing the Iron Throne, going all the way back to season one, who would he be?
Part of me want to say Stannis.
Yo, I was thinking about Stannis the other day, and I think you might be right. If LeBron's not the Night King. Which he very well could be
the Night King, yes. Outside of OJ, who's the real Night King.
He's Stannis.
Yeah, he's Stannis.
Like, Russell Westbrook might really be Stannis, though. Like, he decided to stay on the outside and fight for what's his against insurmountable odds. And, like, he picked up a dope alliance with Paul George.
Which is the Red Queen.
But really, neither one of them is going to win. Like, Stannis might
be.
Oh,
yeah, because no, he's not Stannis.
Stannis is Russell Westbrook.
Yeah. But he has a Stannis vibe, though, to him.
He does. He kind of does have a Stannis vibe to him. You are right there.
I don't know who he could be then, maybe. Maybe Robert Baratheon?
Huh.
Only thing, he's not a hater, though, because a part of me wants that to be Kobe.
You know what?
Robert Baratheon might be Kobe.
Robert Baratheon wasn't a hater, though.
Yes, he was. The whole thing is because everything started because he was a hater. Because he knew that she wanted to be with Rhaegar. That's the whole reason all this jumped off. And he threw the salt on, like, y'all want to get your sister back? And she's supposed to be with me?
There's a difference between being a hater and being somebody that can't break out the friend zone. Robert Baratheon waged a whole war over the friend zone. Never broke out of the fucking friend zone.
Never
broke out of the friend zone. And even brought his homeboys in with it. And it didn't work out. And amped it up
and got niggas killed.
Exactly. And, like, killed lots of people.
Yeah, no, and killed the Starks almost didn't exist because of him.
I think that LeBron might actually be in this one.
Are you going to say Littlefinger?
No, hell no. He's still a power broker.
Yeah.
Littlefinger like a nigga to play for the Kings. LeBron.
Know what?
He is Robert. Yes, he is. He's Robert Baratheon, and here's why. But it's not for the reason about anything that has to do with Lyanna. It's. And I'm sorry, this is too deep of a dive. But if you don't watch Game of Thrones, that's your fucking fault.
At this point, you gotta hold you to catch up.
First of all, it's your fucking fault. Yeah. If you don't watch Game of Thrones, don't put that on me. But yeah, because not only did he go to war for something that he believed in himself, he brought his boys with him. So, like, that makes Ned Stark be Dwayne Wade.
Because he died for another cat, so.
Yeah.
Now, I think that Steph Curry is Queen Targaryen.
Queen Targaryen? Dannys?
Dannys. Think about it. All the way out in the middle of the West, out of nowhere, came out and went in ships. just came through with three dragons. He finna lose one Kevin Durant, well, but then, he's still going.
Does that make Kevin Durant Jon Snow?
Bingo bango. Yeah, and then now they got a champ.
Who is James Harden? Is he Renly?
Oberyn Martell. Oh, yeah. Going out there shooting all the shots. And never gonna make it past the third round.
And Boogie Cousins is definitely the Mountain.
Oh yes, 100%.
Which makes the dog be Draymond Green.
Yeah. But now they're to say, and because they brothers.
Yep.
The Bash brothers down low. Yeah, that's who is Kobe?
Kobe's not in this universe.
Yeah, he's got to be. I don't want Kobe. He's older. In this universe. I want him to be there. He's got. You know who Kobe is? It's the.
He's Aries. He's the Mad King.
No,
he's the mad king. No, it's perfect. He's the mad king because he's standing on the throne, making wild ass accusations and acting crazy as hell.
And wild ass people believe in him still, though, even though he has no reason to believe in him.
Exactly. And then that makes Paul Pierce be Jaime Lannister, the Kingslayer, because at the peak of Kobe's powers, he lost to the fucking Celtics. And I ain't never letting y'all off the hook with that either. That Kobe Bryant and LeBron James, both at peak powers, lost. And Rhaegar, who is unblemished, is Michael Jordan.
But then LeBron took out Robert took out Rhaegar. But are you saying because it's fake? Because basically, it was insurmountable odds for Rhaegar when he went into that battle.
I mean, is Michael Jordan like Bran the Builder then? Like, he's like, that's a super, yeah, super, yeah, deep,
yeah,
guy.
He's got to be Bran the Builder or something like that. He's okay. Got to be.
Michael Jordan.
Aegon the First. First Targaryen, Aegon the First.
Michael Jordan.
That brought all the dragons.
Michael Jordan is like Iron Man in Game of Thrones universe.
Michael Jordan. The end. Yeah. We do still need to do the black, the hip hop black version of Game of Thrones.
It's coming very soon. All right, man, let's get into some stuff for this week.
And that's going to be a special full episode on that. That's going to be a one off scenario episode. That's going to be just on Game of Thrones for our people.
I can do that.
Yeah, we're just talking about Game of Thrones for that one and comparing it to black culture.
I can do that one. That doesn't hurt me at all.
We already have cast the Night King, O.J. Simpson. He's already cast it.
Yeah, LeBron can't be that Night King.
Yeah, this new world is we're opening up to full black world.
Yeah, everybody's in it. Well, no, wait a minute. But O.J. No, if we're doing the hip hop ones, that's different.
Well, no. I would think O.J. have to be like. I don't know. O.J. was out there doing hip hop shit though. Remember, he was acting like a pimp and shit and all kind of stuff and music videos and stuff for Cats Down in Miami.
Oh Lord.
I could figure out a way to get OJ back in this motherfucker, even in the hip hop situation.
All right, man. Let's go into our topic. Let's hit a few things we got here, man, this week for y'all, real quick. First of all, Terry Crews was forced to apologize for talking about the importance of kids having a father figure in their lives. And just to give you the update on this, it all kind of strung down from him going on Twitter and saying that talking about Barack Obama's message to young black boys. If you missed that, about where he was saying, you know, basically Obama said, yo, if you're confident in your financial situation, you're probably not going to be wearing an 8-pound gold chain around your neck. You know, because, oh, I got a bank account. You don't have to show how much you got. You know what I'm saying? Like, basically trying to put people on, like, the Jay-Z 444 game, mm-hmm. You know, coming from the president instead. However, you know, people took that as, like, he was trying to assault our youth.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's as they say, that's respectability politics.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, like, he was saying something that old heads talk to other old heads about all the time. He just put it in mm-hmm. public. You know, so Terry Crews, you know, weighed in on it saying, yo, another thing that bothers me is this op-ed that was written by a woman about how boys should be taught to grow into successful young men. How would she know? Men need to hold other men accountable. And he had another tweet that came after that saying, women can speak with us, just not for us. And he said it was counterproductive after another Twitter person said that it was counterproductive to kick women out of the conversation. I got some thoughts that are going to get me in trouble about this.
Oh, I know. So I'd like you to go first. I agree 100% with those statements there, because I wouldn't want to get in a conversation with women talking about how other women should be either, though. Vice versa.
One of the things I see every day, right, is that women saying, men, stay out of the conversation. This is about women's right. This is about women upbringing women now. Like, mm-hmm. we're in, like, a full-blown feminist revolution right now, which I'm not against. Yeah. Go for it. You know, do what's right. You if you won't fight for yourself, who can you trust to fight for you? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So go for it. But anytime that we start getting into a conversation about male rights, women do insert themselves into it. Like, they feel like there's a place at the table in the conversation about what men need to be about, although there doesn't need to be a conversation about what's going on with women that men are about. I mean, let's just call it for what it is. It's a double standard. You know, but it's not like we're short on these in the world anyway. And women probably fall on the worst side of double standards more often than not. I wouldn't even say probably. They almost always do.
Yeah, 100%.
But I still think there's a place for men to publicly discuss what men are on without it being a thing where there needs to be this. Now, I don't think Terry Crews should have went after the lady op-ed piece. Yeah. Like, let people say what they got to say. You know, let people speak. Let them say what they got to say. However, I kind of get both angles on it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But then it divulged
into, like, kids need, like, energy from both, like, a male and female energy from both parents.
Right. Right. And I think that a lot of the messaging with what part of that crucial part of being a man that gets mixed up in these day and age is, like, when you see things like women celebrating Father's Day. And I'd be like, yo, that's not what that's about, though. No. Like, I never see a man celebrating Mother's Day.
Never. And I know some dads that are single dads.
Yeah.
Like, that's why it's a lot, but I'm saying that there are some.
Like one of my closest people is a single dad. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm godfather to his daughter, single dad. You know what I'm saying? But he don't have no balloons on Mother's Day. He ain't going to lunch on Mother's Day. You know what I mean? I mean brunch. I'm sorry. Mother's Day is for brunch. Lunch is for Father's Day. But he ain't out here like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know, dog. Like, I kind of feel like it's a justified double standard to say, hey, let us sort some of these things out for ourselves too.
I agree. And the women do an incredible job with child rearing, but there is a certain thing in the energy that a man and a woman gets from having a man around, both people. You know what I'm saying? Not saying that that's not around, but there is something about having that different energy and something to bounce off of the opposite sex and the same sex with you and having that energy of both of those people. It just makes you more well-balanced. It doesn't mean you're not going to be not being able to be successful and be a great person, but I guarantee you that there are studies that show that you are a better person when you have two people helping rear you.
I mean, I know for a fact.
Particularly male and female rearing, though.
I mean, I know for a fact that offset between my parents definitely helped. I mean, and they wasn't even in the same household, but I mean, it was still
the same energy you get both. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, like, and I'm not saying you can't even get the energy from two men or two women, but there is something about having that energy from somebody else, or at least giving that insight into a woman or to a man.
I mean, that's why you look at the thing about the notion about it takes a village, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, everything that it takes a village, it takes multiple perspectives, different type of people to get it done. Like, I don't really think there's a lot to be gained in the ego play of saying I did this by myself. Like, nobody should have to do this by themselves. And if you had to do it by yourself, like, I get that, but, like, you still should be able to offload some of that somewhere else, mm-hmm. whether it's a coach, You know what I mean? Like, whether it's, like, you know, somebody else either. Like, the mission should always be to get multiple perspectives for kids in general.
Yeah, so, I mean, but at the same time, I'm mad at Terry Crews for even doing shit on Twitter, man.
Yeah, don't these motherfuckers,
especially if you're a fucking celebrity and you, dude, if you got over 2,000 followers, or no, fuck that, over 1,000 followers, and you have a platform that you are trying to build, unless you're just a motherfucker that don't give a fuck, and that's whatever that is.
There's a lot of people that built that platform on that site.
What you mean? Oh, built by being a tweeter, you saying?
By just not giving a fuck and just saying anything.
That's true too. And you saying that brand is built off of not giving a fuck and just saying dumb
like
shit.
Intentionally, yeah.
Yes, but the thing is, though, I think at some point it becomes like a tipping point almost where you, if you're trying to get that real branding and real bread, if that's what your goal is, now if it's not your goal and it's whatever, you can just not give a fuck. But if you're saying, like, I want to build my brand and I use it through Twitter, at some point, you're going to, some of that shit's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that shit and something, you know how many different tweets I've deleted in my mind, deleted, actually typed out, and I was like, not gonna rock with this one, man.
Oh yeah, plenty of stuff.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I've had things sit where it's in my like drafts.
This is just something I'm gonna say in my group text, or I'll send it to Matt or some other one boys, be like, yo, this is some crazy shit. Oh, I was
just talk about it on here.
Yeah, or I could talk about it on the show. No, and say about it and explain it more than instead of 160 characters.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I'm very excited that I survived Green Book analysis last week.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't see the Twitter joints, did you?
What Twitter joints?
Okay. I'll show you.
You know I don't read comments.
Yeah. I mean,
it's like one of the worst habits you can make as a writer.
I try to always, like, at least, you know, try to respond back.
You should. You absolutely should. Me looking at those comments would lead to
pandemonium.
Yeah.
Or just going crazy and shit.
Yeah.
I can get that.
Yeah.
No, it was just like, you know.
Speaking of pandemonium and going crazy, for you, this is for you. I'm going to give you these moments. These are going to be yours. Mm-hmm. I'm even going to walk away from the microphone for a little bit. New York Undercover is coming back.
Yo, check it out, y'all.
I'm out of here.
One of the best TV shows of all time, dramas. It's not Wire worthy, but it's The Wire pre-Wire. Love that show, man. Fox had it locked down for colored people on Thursday nights. First was Martin, then you had Living Single, and then you went in New York Undercover. It literally had you locked in from 7 to 10 or 8 to 11, depending on if you're on the East Coast or, you know, and they had you locked in at all times. So I made sure that's how they supposed to do this. They've already brought back Malik Yoba, and they brought back the sister, Melissa, is it Melissa? I can't remember her name. But she was also in couple other things, but she's coming back, and somebody was saying that Michael DeLorenzo is coming back, but they killed him in season 4. I don't know if that's gonna be possible.
They killed John Goodman and Roseanne, and now he's the headline star of the show.
I mean, but yeah, I mean, at the end of that Roseanne season, they said that all that was a dream, though. Remember, they did that before that series ended.
Oh, I didn't know.
That at the end of the season. It was like a dream for, like, Roseanne. Like, that whole last season was a dream.
It was a hell of a dream.
Yeah, I mean, it was all the whole season because, remember, they won a lottery and all that shit.
Is that how
they going
to bring her back to the show now when it blows over? Oh, that was a dream, too.
Yeah. She didn't die? Yeah, maybe. But I'm interested to see if they're talking about Michael DeLorenzo's coming back. But I'm interested to see the how they
going
to
come back. It's like a dude, like, on old boy Ben off the Umbrella Academy.
Oh, where it's like flashbacks?
He gonna be like the magical Hispanic Jesus for Malik Yoba.
I can see that. And him just thinking and talking to him and stuff.
Yeah.
That can get real weird.
It'd be like Quantum Leap.
Oh shit. With what was his name? And Ziggy.
Highway to Heaven.
Yeah. You know, you mean Touched by Angel?
No, I mean Highway to Heaven.
Michael Landis.
Touched by an Angel too.
But I'm interested to see how it's gonna go.
Well, Michael Porter's career.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, sorry.
Yeah, it's all good, man. That's
Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon Bell be all right.
Ty Gurley soon.
Oh, don't say that. Don't say that. Wow, you got some hot takes tonight.
New York Undercover. Yeah, stick to the subject.
But that's it for New York Undercover, though, y'all. So,
you're excited. Like, I'm excited. It's not Wire worthy. Where is it at on your TV hierarchy? Is it in your top 10?
Top five. Top 10. For black shows.
Yeah, stop segregating shows. Let shows exist together.
Okay, well, then it's top 20.
Top 20. Damn, so that means that for white shows, you have, it could be a top five black show, but so that means you only have five black shows in your top 20 TV shows?
No, there's more black shows than that.
But it couldn't go from top five to just being in the top 20.
No, because some of those black shows may be number 9 or 10, but it was some white. It'd be some white shows above it.
I don't think your math is really lining up for me right now to understand your point.
100% is.
Huh. 100%. Are these your shows or Jose Acevedo shows?
These are my shows. Jose Acevedo shows are on Telemundo. Not just on Telemundo. He also is a avid watcher of the George Lopez show.
Oh, so he was watching other shows fun of
He doesn't. Shows. He didn't know that TV in the States existed that he could relate to until George Lopez.
I thought he would have learned his English from watching TV in the States.
George Lopez. Because they spoke Spanish in there a little bit too. With no subtitles.
Oh, boy.
Okay. That's how he learned and grew his way on. That and Mr. Belvedere. I don't know why he liked that.
Mr. Belvedere?
He just liked that randomly.
Okay.
Yeah. And Growing Pains.
I got a hell no alert.
Let's go.
Real quick. Peach Crown Royal.
Peach Crown Royal. Wow.
Oh, hell no.
Hey, they said that shit supposed to be fire, though.
No. Who is they?
I don't know. I just saw some people online saying it was kind of fire. That it was kind of fire.
Do they remember the 80s? Oh, they probably. Were those people online alive Alize, in the 80s
Peach
and remember?
Peach Alize and all that? But I mean, this is going to be stronger. And I'm, it's almost, it's to the point where Crown is almost trolling black people at this point with the Peach. I was like, okay, now, Peach, you're only trying to get a black demographic with this, right?
Yes, that's the only reason that that could be a thing.
Crown Apple, I can see that being maybe a little bit, because in general, Crown Apple was only supposed to be a fall drink.
Mm-hmm.
But it just got so popular with the Negro side that it became a four-seasonal drink. But in general, this is supposed to be like a fall drink. Supposed to be a fall, winter.
Now it's out here forever.
Out here forever.
Crown Royal kind of like became like the sippy flavored vodka for men.
When did Crown Royal become black, though?
It's been black for as long as I can remember.
No, it's a lot. I know a lot of white guys that drink Crown, man.
No, white guys drink it, but it's most certainly been a staple within the black community. Like, there's a lot of white guys that play basketball. I don't mean that it's not in the black community as one of our staples. I don't know. But there's been Crown Royal bags full of change and other miscellaneous objects.
So we're talking about the early 80s, then?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely only one generation removed from in the black community to that extent. But my uncle was the first person I seen that had multiple Crown Royal bags of various things stapled around his room. Like if you went on his dresser, there's gonna be a Crown Royal bag full of all sorts of stuff.
On Google says that the first Crown Royal ad featuring African American was 1989.
That seems late.
I'm looking at one from 1984, and it's two white women. One's doing her hair. And that's from 1984.
Yo, we need that commercial on the Facebook page, like, ASAP.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's just a white woman doing another white woman's hair.
How many white women have you ever seen walk into, like, a bar and be like, give me a Crown Royal?
Never.
Like, I've never seen that.
Yeah, never.
Like, so did we abduct it?
I think whiskey in general is a man's drink. In general, it's going to be hard-pressed to find a woman.
I'm sorry. White guys do drink. Crown.
Yeah. Though. Yes, they do. They drink.
Crown. What is the most shared alcohol? Jack?
Yes. Like, whoa.
Is Jack non-beer division? Like,
okay.
Is Jack the
okay,
most?
Okay, I was going to say I was going to beer.
Yeah, is like Jack the most community-based alcohol we
Jim
have?
Beam? Jim Beam's got to be up there, too.
I don't know too many brothers like in our run that want a Jim Beam. Like, I know lots of people that drink Jack. Like, it's ridiculous. Like
Tanqueray.
Oh, no.
No, white people drink Tanqueray. Don't get it twisted.
I'm just talking about, it's not, I don't think that option is passing up Jack Daniels, though.
No, but I'm just giving you other contenders. I'm not saying that it's beating that. I'm just giving you other.
Grey Goose?
I think white people left Grey Goose and we took it over.
What?
And white people might be getting it back. White people, I think they took it back. Then at that end, Belvedere. When we went over to Ciroc, they took it back.
Belvedere always felt like the Scottie Pippen of
to Grey Goose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no reason for them to ever be priced any differently, but they were.
Because Belvedere was priced more.
Yeah.
Because they thought they were a better brand.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah.
Grey Goose figured out a way to market themselves better. That's just plainly what it comes down to. Trying to think of some other of the liquors that would be cross-branded.
Jameson.
Jameson can be one.
It's about to be St. Patrick's.
What about MD44?
Well, okay, are we talking about...
Well, I mean, are you talking about just a general, your general mid-grade brand on a...
MD's not as much of a racial thing as it's a socioeconomic thing. Like, people that drink MD usually have to. That's the difference.
Okay. That's a great point. It might be Jack. I'm going to go with Jack because I could see... Also, because Jack is the one. The funny thing is, Jack is the one people have to. People like myself, when I ask for a crown, like on a plane or something, they'll be like, "Oh no, we got Jack," and they'll be like, "Okay, cool."
Those are two completely different things.
I know, but that's where you got to go down to, and you're cool. Well, you're not upset about it. I think any whiskey that anybody had in their mind what they wanted, they'll fall back down to Jack.
If Tennessee like, and Canadian whiskey tastes wild totally different to me.
Definitely different. But I'm telling you that people will fall back to a Jack. Off of whatever they felt.
I got a late entry. It might be tequila. Tequila might be the universal alcohol.
But which tequila brand? I'm saying you got to go brand now.
Unfortunately, a lot of people like Patron, and I don't get it. Because Patron ain't fucking good.
Is it Patron? Or if we going to really, really get
Cuervo
it,
and 1800.
I was saying Cuervo. Cuervo been holding it down for both nationalities for years.
It might say something about me and the places that I frequent now compared to what I did 10 years ago, but I see lots of motherfuckers drinking Patron and Don Julio. Now, I will always take Don Julio first.
Oh, Don Julio is great.
I will always take Don Julio first. Yeah, I love Don Julio. But that might say something about me, so yeah. I'm not going to do that.
But I mean, but Cuervo has been around for a long time holding it down.
Hey, everybody's drinking Tito's now, though. Across the board.
Tito's is coming up.
Tito's is like the Giannis, Greek freak of alcohol now, where people just like, yo, watch for this motherfucker right here. Because I remember a couple years ago when the Rams were still here, I was saying, yo, that Tito's is not priced right. We drinking that today.
Because it hadn't
It hadn't popped off. It was like $7 at a game. I was like,
oh, wow.
At the Rams, at the TWA Dome, may they rest in peace. Yeah. You know, it was $7. And I was like, I remember I was telling the now fiance, I said, don't order that. Get that. She was getting ready to order something that was like $9 because it had a name that I guess she drank more often or that, you know, Sucker MCs was buying her at the club. And she was drinking that. No, it was Ciroc. She was drinking Ciroc because Ciroc had already had the boom by then. Like the Ciroc boom hit in like 06. So it truly jettisoned them because I was getting bottles of Ciroc for like $12 in college.
Yeah, because it popped, but when it went mainstream, like 08.
Yeah, it took off. It took off. 08, she was getting ready to get the Ciroc. The Ciroc was like $9, $10. And I was like, get that Tito's right
now
there.
Now that Tito's is more
that handmade. I think more people drink Tito's now than any other vodka, like any other alcohol across the board. Jack Daniels and Tito's are the unifying alcohols of America.
I can't dispute that. The Tito's is, you'll see anybody with Tito's.
Speaking of unifying America, let's get on to our next thing here. Kanye West is now officially an indentured servant.
Love it.
Give him the background details on it.
So he signed to EMI through a different publishing deals, things like that. And he basically have a loophole in his contract. I guess it wouldn't be a loophole because he would be able to get out of it. But part in his contract that says that he cannot retire.
Never.
Because of some publishing deal he did.
Ever.
Sounds like slavery to me.
That sounds like that Kesha to me.
What's that Kesha?
Like, you know how Kesha couldn't perform forever because they had her locked up on some things?
I did not know this about Kesha.
Yeah, look that up. That happened a couple years ago. Like, Kesha couldn't perform certain songs because she had left the person who had written the song, so she couldn't make money because all her songs was written by this person. So, I mean, she could get her little royalty checks or whatever as a performer, but she couldn't do anything besides that. So Kesha was jammed up for a little while.
Oh, yes. She had a few with Sony.
Yeah. So, like, she couldn't do anything. So, but anyway. So, yeah, Kanye West is
Dr.
now like.
Dr. Lucas, who she was barbecuing with, it says.
So, Kanye West is now, like, officially, like, a full-blown indentured servant.
Yeah. Cool. Especially, shout out to you, man. You believe that slaves had a choice? You have a choice to get out of your contract. Go ahead, homie.
No, we have no remorse for Ye here at all. So, what does this mean? Like, Ye's going to have to be, like, if he takes off a certain amount of time, they're like, hey, dog. Time to get that ass on the road.
Where the album at? So shout out to you, Ye. What's your gift for being in the Kardashian Corporation?
Damn. So he got two full-time jobs he can't retire from. Nope. You see, Khloe is willing to lay it all on the line with this chick, Jordan. Fucking name, Jordan Adams or something?
Shout out to Tristan Thompson. I predicted it. Remember I said that he's doing this because he don't want to be with her no more. That he just wowing. After, did you see the Red Table Talk with her?
No.
With Jordan? And the way Tristan was like, she said this, Tristan just walked up to her and kissed her in front of everybody. I was like, oh, he just trying to get up out the paint. He's like, somebody please record this.
Send it to her. Those are the differences between dealing with a black woman and whatever those chicks are. Because mm-hmm. there ain't no part of my world, in my life, where I would ever think that I could just walk up and kiss a chick.
But she was sitting on his lap and everything the night earlier, so it wasn't like he had no.
And skate off into the distance.
He wanted her to be like, I'm out. But Chloe, like, I still want to be with her. I'm going to stay with her for my family. He like, yo, I got into the crib.
What the fuck does your family need anybody to do anything for? So it comes to find out
that was his crib that he went to. That wasn't Jordan Clarkson's crib. That was his crib. So one question is, how is this your... Man, that's a hell of a detail, ain't it?
Yo. Yo.
This motherfucker got another crib. He got just had a baby with his lady and just bought that crib.
Yo. This motherfucker, Tristan Thompson, going to end up
in
on
L.A.
Judge.
In L.A.
This motherfucker going to end up on Judge Judy, yo.
Yeah, he is. Dude, in L.A. Don't even live in L.A. He lives in Cleveland because he plays for the Cavaliers during the season. Bought a crib in L.A. and just happened to be there kicking it. Or whatever, because you know he went in an all-star game, so he was sitting there like, you know, I'm finna kick it and do my thing. Everybody come by the new crib.
Yo, this motherfucker might be the fewest on fucks of anybody alive.
But it's also, he's a fuck boy in general, not to just go and say, fuck it, just don't be with me then.
I mean,
I guess, I don't even know, maybe he's like, yo, I tried this already. It's hard to get out this Kardashian corporation.
I mean, is he
only
a
way
boy?
We can get him out is to
is
save
he a fuck boy or an American hero?
It's going to be a thin line.
I mean, this motherfucker sounds like the dude of the Free State of Jones. Like, he just like, I'm going against the grain.
Fuck it. This Kardashians, they're going to divorce me.
Like, y'all bitches going to have to break up with me.
And the thing, you know, and then I know he got to be like, yo.
Yo, we might see we might see a world record set for somebody who does the most egregious shit of all time.
By him? He's done the most egregious
things.
What do
you think that, like,
he got with Chloe while his ex-girlfriend was pregnant?
No, but, like, what do you
think? He's got a lot of egregious things in his nature.
What do you think these dudes, like, happen, like, how they live their life when they just, like, you got Travis Scott, mm-hmm. you got Tristan Thompson, mm-hmm. you got Kanye West. Mm-hmm. Who's dunking on Kendall right now?
Oh, your boy, Ben Simmons.
Is he still rocking with her?
Yeah, Ben Simmons rocking with her.
They had stopped that and started
again.
Yeah,
they back or whatever.
All right, so you got Ben Simmons, Tristan Thompson, Kanye West, and Travis Scott at the crib. Mm-hmm. Who's dunking on the old head right now?
Dunking on who? Like straight dunking?
The
like,
moms.
Oh, some dude from Morehouse, some black dude from Morehouse.
She's with a brother, too?
Yeah, he's like our age, too. No bullshit. Dude went to Morehouse. I know someone that knows him personally. Shout out to one of your frat brothers, too. I think he's actually your frat brother, too.
The dude that's with her is one of them?
I think he's a noob.
We got to get this motherfucker the Laurel Reef to something.
I have to confirm that. You'd have to follow up with...
All right, listen, man. If he is, I'm telling you right
shout
now.
Shout out to DC.
I'm gonna
we may
a,
have to follow with DC, the younger DC.
I'm going to make a fucking proclamation right now. If it is indeed a brother of Kappa Alpha Psi that's dunking on... Whatever the fuck her name is. Chris Jenner. Yo, you're up for the Laurel Reef, bruh. That's the highest award in the fraternity. Hold up.
I just pulled it up. Corey Gamble is his name.
Dude that used to play cornerback for the Panthers?
Mm-mm.
That's Chris Gamble. All right.
Now, let's Google Corey Gamble and cap out this Alpha Psi.
I can go straight to it right now. Hold up. I got the membership.
let me find out
hey,
right now.
Keep
there.
The show going for a second. Yeah. I'm going to do some research. What's
so,
next?
I think
what do we got next here? Up next, we got we got your guy, R. Kelly interview highlights.
We're gonna go to the R. Kelly tape real quick and give you all a little bit.
Wait a minute, no, not the R. Kelly tape. We're gonna go to the R. Kelly interview.
Interview, not right.
Tread fucking lightly.
Yeah, the huge. Not the tape, the interview with Gail King.
And now for something completely different.
Definitely not that. And we're gonna go to that real quick.
Down with us today.
I'm very tired of all of the. Lies. I've been hearing things and, you know, and seeing things on the blogs and, you know, I'm just tired.
What are the lies that you're hearing that disturb you most?
Oh, my God. All of them. Got little girls trapped in the basement, helicopters over my house, mm-hmm. trying to rescue someone that doesn't need rescuing because they're not in my house, handcuffing people, starving people. I have a harem, a cult. Mm-hmm. I don't even really know what a cult is, but I know I don't have one, you know.
Have you done anything that you regret? Have you done anything wrong?
Lots of things wrong when it comes to women that I apologize, but I apologize in those relationships at the time I was in the relationships.
Have you broken any laws when it comes to women?
Absolutely not.
The six-part series interviewed 50 people, family members, your former tour manager, numerous women who all claim that you abused them. Yeah. Are you saying everybody in that documentary was not telling the truth about you? Everybody?
If you really look at that documentary, which I'm sure you have.
I have.
Everybody said something bad about me. Nobody said nothing good. Mm-hmm. They was describing Lucifer. I'm not Lucifer. I'm a man. I make mistakes, but I'm not a devil, and by no means am I a monster.
I'm going to name the names. Andrea Kelly, your ex-wife, Kitty Jones, Lisa Van Allen, Lizette Martinez, Geronda Pace, Faith Rogers, Asante McGee. You're saying everything they said in that documentary about you is not true.
They are lying on me.
Why would these women say the same thing about you, that you are controlling, that you are abusive, that you tell women when to eat, when to go to the bathroom, when they can sleep, where they can dress? Why would all these women tell?
Shout out to Kells.
Really, though? Like, listen, I'm going to tell you right now. I don't in any way condone what R. Kelly's on or what he's been a part of or what we done all known he's been on for years. And we just sat back and was like, that's kind of gross. But now we're like, oh, that's terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever. I'm letting everybody off the hook except for Kells. Like, hey, it's a fucked up situation. But, yo, that clip had some of the best audio. That had some of the best audio of anything. Whoever edited that segment together, you, sir, should get an Emmy this year.
for editing a news program.
At the very least, you get a Platinum Hood Award. So, thank you, because we're going to use that until the wheels fall off of it.
That's hilarious. No, that's real. That's real.
But, yo, like, I was looking at it, and at first, I thought it was the Trapped in the Closet video. Like, I was looking, and I was like,
I thought somebody superimposed him next to Gayle King.
Like, straight up.
Yeah, I thought, I was like, man, there's no way. Then I saw, oh, he did do that.
Like, straight up, I was like, is this really happening? Like, I felt like I didn't know it was coming, and, like, I would have wanted to get myself in a place to enjoy that. Like, I'm going to see Captain Marvel on the first release, like, before the early release happens. Mm-hmm. Like, I would have been ready for that Kells interview the same way. But, like, the thing that really stuck out the most to me about it is I'm sitting here looking at him being distressed, but I looked at him and was like, yo, this nigga got the Carlos Boozer up top. Well, like, he got that Everlast lining. Well, like, they took that wet charcoal fingers and put it through his hair and, like, gave him that old head, full head of hair.
No, that's real.
Kells ain't had hair since I was about 10, but now he got this crisp-ass lining that looks stronger than mine? Nah, bro. Not having it. So, your thoughts on Kells' most recent foray into ridiculous?
Shout out to him getting on child support, getting locked right back up, though, too. He came out the interview and they locked him up. For child support, like a child support payment.
Everybody, R. Kelly is like walking, talking reparations right now. Like, hey, you owe a lot of us a lot of things.
And we know where you are now.
Run us what you owe. Run me what you owe.
I mean, as the great Javon Bibbs said, I want to read his message verbatim because it's very poignant, as someone would say, and hilarious. He says verbatim. Hold on, Javon, I got you right here. He quote, here we go. He says, if Kells wants a chance at not going to jail, he shouldn't do another TV interview. His ass trying so hard to prove innocence, he's asking Gayle obvious-ass questions. All right, Kelly to Gayle, is this camera on me? Absolutely motherfucking, they are. You're doing an interview on TV. Like, Gayle's going to be like, it might be, hold up, let me check the battery on it real fast. That's what I'm saying, though. He was over-dramatizing that shit, I feel like.
He is an extra.
Yeah, man. It felt like it was Trapped in the Closet, like you said, though. Like, I didn't do it.
Yeah,
they trying to ruin me. I put 30 years in this game. I only love women. Don't matter the age.
When he said, I love all women, I was like, yeah, you kind of didn't deny it, though. Yeah. You didn't deny it. Like, you had it out right there. But I think Kells even knew you can't sell this one because the boom about to drop on him. So, I don't know, man. R. Kelly is a walking, talking content machine. And God bless you for it because you make sure that people like us always have stuff.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, at this point, man, he's going to jail, right?
Kells is like the James Harden of this shit right now where it's just 30-point game, 30-point game, 30-point game, 30-point game. Like, James Harden's streak recently broke. Kells is going to break it. 30-point game, 30-point game. It's just going to keep happening. All right, man. It's time for America's favorite new segment, This Week in Jussie. Like, remember, This Week in Jussie, people misrepresenting themselves for gain. No shortage of that happening. If we ever run out of content for this, we'll just go to Capitol Hill. But for now, we don't
have
to.
Always find, like, This Week in Jussie.
Because HBO did it for us this week. So HBO had the controversial special that came on the heels of this R. Kelly thing, Finding Neverland, which is about Michael Jackson. I watched an hour of it earlier today, and I got to tell you, it just really seemed like the blueprint on fucked up parenting.
Joe Jackson, you talking about?
No, the parents that had their boys sleeping in a room with this old-ass man.
Oh, yeah.
While they sleep in his house while it's happening. I feel like that makes you an accessory, or at the very least, John Stockton.
Yeah.
You hand delivering these boys to Michael Jackson.
Is that, well, who had the joke with booty shorts on, sending them up there with booty shorts on? Sending them up to the Michael house with booty shorts on. Like, do you want them? I mean, I haven't seen it. I mean, I may watch it at some point, but I'm not doing it right now.
I mean, I always feel like it's a little dirty to kick somebody that's dead, like to kick somebody while they're down. Like, I'm kind of like, oh, that's unnecessary. Like, everybody knows Mike's kind of fucked up. What are you gonna do? Like, what are you gonna gain from this thing now? Like, he's not here. Like, with the R. Kelly thing, I get it. Like,
there, and he's continually to do shit, so it's not like it's like
R. Kelly's gonna make sure he gets convicted, like, by his action. Like, R. Kelly seems to be like a person that's just like, there's nothing left for me out in this free world, so I'm just gonna go ahead and get
convicted. And going back to Kells for a second before we go further than Mike, he in the interview said, so the girl that's the one that's he's trapping or whatever, and he's like, I forgot her name, the one with her parents, and he's was on like TMZ, and she's like, I'm with R. Kelly and all that, I'm not held against my will and all that. He fucking goes, yeah, I'm in a relationship with her. She's like, but she's only 21. So when did you start having sex with her? He's like, she was of age. She's like, are you sure? Yeah, she was of age. She was of age. But then somebody brought up a good point. Oh, no, he said, no, take that back. I think he said she was 18. She was older than 18. No, it was something around there, but somebody was like, I'm remembering it now. He said that, Gil asked him, was she 16 when you had sex with her? He said, no, she was not 16. Somebody was like, maybe he was saying that she was 14, and it's like one of those, like, yeah, I didn't lie about it. You asked me a direct question, how old she was. No, she wasn't 16.
Where you look at a motherfucker, you'd be like, no, nigga, I'm being very literal right now. Like,
right. No. I mean, no. You can go, no. I'm being literal, and you can expand that out saying anybody underage. I'm talking about 16 and below. Just because she wasn't exactly 16 when you had sex with her. Don't mean it's not.
Michael Jackson was just flat out. The accusations on this thing, Michael Jackson was flat out abducting children that were under 10 years old. Like, dude's breaking down details. I'm not saying none of that stuff's coming out of my mouth. I was like, this is kind of crazy. Here's a question I got, though. Did I bring this up? This concludes this part of This Week in Jussie, the misrepresentation Olympics of the week. There's so much of this shit out here. Like, why are we watching it? Like, why do so many people feel the need to turn on and see these fiendish acts? Like, I get it, but to me, it kind of feels like kind of like a little bit of like a sick voyeur type thing.
It is, because I love fucking Snapped. I love fucking all them true crime shows on fucking...
No, like, and that's been a thing so long at this point, I don't even talk about it anymore. But, like, I mean, like... these celebrity just...
Oh, you mean the celebrity...
gruesome sex scandal things. Like, why are we... watching this. Like, I get it to get the story, like, get the feel about it. Like, I'm not watching the rest of that Michael Jackson thing. Yeah. Like, I just wanted to watch it to get an idea about it, what it was, because number one, I mean, I consider it to be part of my duty, considering the type of program we do here. Yeah. And then number two,
I'm glad you did for both of us.
Huh?
I'm glad you did for both of us.
Yeah, no problem, because I felt like your excitement hadn't found me yet about the thing, so it made me know you hadn't watched it. And then also, like, I just kind of look at it, and I'm just like, you know, is this really what we've come to, like, as far as, like...
But that's programming, because you got to think, though, for TV shows at this point, they need salacious shit for you to tune in.
Right. I feel
that's
like...
That's what it's coming down
to. I really feel like the thing is, like, people are, like, so desensitized to crazy shit that, like, now you got to have, like...
Over-the-top crazy shit for people to tune in. Yes.
Right.
I agree.
Right.
Also, all this stuff with Mike getting jammed up like this is Jermaine Jackson's fault.
Here it comes.
Jermaine Jackson, if he wouldn't have been the type of brother that would just held him down, and if he wouldn't have left the Jacksons when he needed him, when they was close, and then he became the kind of brother that didn't want to be in the studio with Mike, hated on Mike on songs. Oh, Mike singing lead? If I ain't singing lead too, I ain't getting on the song type of motherfucker when they try to get the Victory album going. If he wasn't doing all that, I think Mike would have been okay, man.
I think Mike might have just a little predator that's laying latent in who he was.
Man. I mean, I don't know, man. I debate my own mind about that one, man. Because, man. Look, I'll say this. I'll say that Mike was fucked up in the head when it comes to the extent of thinking that this shit was okay for him to be in the bed with boys and do all that kind of shit. So he set himself to be able to be, susceptible to shit like this.
True that.
So I'll say that. Now, if it's true or not, I don't know. I know they've had a lot of shit on him, and they've been trying to take down Mike for years to try to get that money, and they never got him in legal court. And that's going to, I mean, and I guess you could say the same thing about R. Kelly, but it wasn't no tape. R. Kelly had a fucking tape. That was his fucking, like, yo. So I don't know where to sit with it. I'm just going to sit on the fence on it, man, and just say nothing either way, man. I'm not going to say it either way. I'm not going to condemn him. I'm not going to cape for him like that either. I'm just going to say, hey, it is what it is at this point. And maybe we don't care about white men, though, white little boys. Because they be living out here. They be getting the best of shit.
I feel like this might be a part of the conversation that you lean a little heavier.
No. I do. I was thinking, I was like, man, maybe the white nationalists have a point here, because I don't care about no little white boys. Because they care about little white boys in general in life. I'm not caring about them for this four-hour documentary. I'm sorry. Fuck it. You know what? I'm going all the way there. Fuck it. I don't care about no little white boys in this situation with that. I don't. I'm sorry, man. That sounds fucked up. I know, man. But it's like, man, y'all been winning out in these motherfucking streets. And this motherfucker Wade Robinson got record deals. This motherfucker was dancing. He came up. He was on MTV doing a show. I'm like, yo. And then these R. Kelly girls came up.
I mean,
well, Leah had to leave him to come up.
Yeah, well, she came up a little bit.
I mean, none of them songs are now played. That catalog's not played at all ever. The R. Kelly catalog will never be played again for Aaliyah.
R. Kelly came on my Spotify.
Okay.
And it was a very compromising situation.
And it was a joint too, wasn't it?
Only they're all joints.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, there's like specific ones you're like, God damn.
I mean, they all fit the bill.
Mm-hmm.
But they just can't be out there anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I need for Spotify to take R. Kelly off of all of its pre-created playlists. Like, I just need it gone. The ones that you sponsor as a mm-hmm. website. Like, that's got to go.
What's your hardest R. Kelly song? Like, do you like, yo, that's the hardest one to give up?
I don't know.
Or you gave up, but I'm saying, mine is Home Alone, because it was like a party song.
I don't have.
With Keith Murray. It's going to be a party, y'all. That just gets you hype for like a party, like to be somewhere kicking it. And it makes me feel like, you know, when you got the crib by yourself, ain't no wife, no kids, no nothing. It's Home Alone. We kicking it.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know. I think I kind of just thrown R. Kelly like.
Oh no, I get it. I get it.
All into like one pile now, and yeah. I just don't feel my R. Kelly emotions are gone. I guess that's the easiest way.
I mean, that was the one that for me.
Like, I do have some friends that are having a hard time with this though.
Like, it was like a recovery group?
Yeah, like, they're, like, really having a hard time with letting R. Kelly go. Because it's like, this is my go-to jams. Like, the other day, we was doing the thing during the Mardi Gras thing. And we passing, was, like, passing the playlist.
Yeah, like.
And it was like, there was times where I would have went to some R. Kelly joints. But it was like, it ain't there. It's making me more nimble and deft in my playlist.
One did come on, though. We was like, damn, man, this sucks. But we got to skip it.
Yeah. It happens. Yeah. All right, man. Let's get to it. It's time for that special part of the show.
Everybody hey, yo.
It. It's been gone. The segment's been gone.
We gave y'all 2 weeks.
We haven't had time to deal with you, but we ain't forgot about you, baby. It's time for, once again, this week in racism.
Welcome back. This is your This Week in Racism. And This Week in Racism is Hillary Transu. She was sentenced to 3 months. Oh, no. Hillary Transu was one of the people that was it. But it was the judge is Mark Cervavelli Jr. and colleague Mike Conran appeared in federal court in Scranton, Pennsylvania to plead guilty to wire fraud and income tax fraud for taking more than $2.6 million and kickbacks to send teenagers to two privately run youth detention centers ran by PA Child Care and a sister company, Western PA Child Care. So they would trump up charges at anything.
I love the term trumped up.
Yeah. And they would jaywalk and be like, oh, you jaywalk? 2 months in juvenile. It'd be ridiculous shit like that. And they would literally be, they sent over 5,000 juveniles.
Bruh.
That were overcharged.
Now, what's the breakout of these juveniles?
70% of black.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you're here. Because white people probably be like, how are we here for that? That was just open. Nah, 70% of them are black. Both judges will serve 87 months in federal prison and resign from the bench and be disbarred. Since the state forbids retirement benefits, the judges convicted of felony while in office, the judges would also lose their pensions. This started in 2002. It didn't get tracked down to 2013.
Hmm. So, in other words,
the detention centers haven't been found.
Are you insinuating that the system might be stacked against us slightly at some times? Maybe. Maybe the system is stacked against black people in some ways.
He sent them at a 10 times the normal rate to that detention center between 2000 and 2006. He sent people at a 10 times rate of other judges in his district. I mean, in his area, in his state. Sorry, state.
Oh, your thoughts.
Yeah, wrap I mean, shout out to you, man.
Throw that shit in a box and throw it on there.
Yeah, I need them to go after the motherfucking detention centers too, man, because that's what we need to go after is them too. Fuck the dumb shit. Let's go after them motherfuckers too.
Can we just undo all the bullshit that Bill Clinton did while he was in office to like
the crime bill and all that?
All that shit that's like we're now two generations into being held back because of it.
Well, this had the crime bill has nothing to do with this shit. This is privatizing the prisons.
Well, Bill Clinton also was the president when more prisons were
privatized. Yeah, that's because of deregulation. And that was the overall thing. That's because deregulation. That a lot of, and that's why your radio stations, because like just to get people inside baseball of it, deregulation basically said that anybody can have anything before. That's why you have conglomerates like your Clear Channel or what iHeartRadio, your Radio Ones, your ESPN Radio, all those. Back in the day, I know I sound like my old man now, but back in the day they didn't. Every city station was owned by a singular person. Maybe somebody in the actual city owned two or three stations, but there wasn't a conglomerate that owned the 10 or 15 stations. It was basically a blocking by regulation to be able to have multiple stations in a lot of different cities because it become a monopoly. You couldn't have a conglomerate until Bill Clinton deregulated that, put deregulation down. So it's his fault still, but not for the crime bill. If we're going to kick his ass for the right things at the same time.
That's fair. Everybody's got ammo.
When you shouting, no, fuck you, Bill, I want you to be stomping on him saying the right thing, not the wrong.
So speaking of things, and once again, thank you again. That was This Week in Racism.
Mm-hmm.
But moving on, yo, scenario of the week.
Mm-hmm.
It's that time. So we were sitting around this week, and I was just kind of, you know, peeping the landscape on social media, as I tend to do occasionally when I get bored every 15 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. Because my mind is fried and I live in the times I live in. But there's just, It's kind of like watching Nick at Night sometimes when you look at your timeline.
Nick at Night.
Because the same goddamn people are having the same repeat-ass arguments nonstop. Like, you know, you got people that are just continuing to feed the bullshit. I think sometimes they do it because they need something to talk about. I'm pretty sure that's what it happens. But anyway, it still happens. So we just thought there were a couple arguments that we just wanted to highlight and say, maybe it's time to let that die. As well as a few things that I don't think need to go away, that we need to keep on getting amped up about, putting out there. But, so this is a few things we're putting out there, arguments that we think is beyond time for them to die. I'm going to let you go first, my brother.
HBCUs versus PWIs.
Oh, you know how I feel about that.
Yeah, we need to let that shit go, man. And that, me too, and that's including myself too. Because I'm gonna stop saying that y'all playing high school gyms and all that type of stuff that I tell people. and they can say that we have some of the wackest homecomings and nobody, no seasoning on our food, all that shit too. I get it. But we all just trying to get an education and be better people at the end of the day.
True.
You know what I'm saying? And we still gonna come to y'all school and get y'all women. Yeah. Look, and vice versa for the women that go to PWIs too. They gonna holler the dudes at the HBCUs too, because that's where everything is cracking at. Can't get mad, and that's where I think is the beef starts from, is when the PWI kids come to the HBCU area and kind of riff raffy a little bit.
See, it seems like to me like it's a big thing where people feel like people are like race trading, or like some people feel like they doing more for the culture than others, and it's like a superiority thing.
Yeah, and more like, my thing is that they don't think we do enough for the culture because we going to a PWI. They're like, oh, y'all, and then you prove like, well, if you look at this, you know, look at the numbers, it's about equal. It's the same
like,
shit.
I don't think that, like, why don't we do this with high schools? Because like people are like, oh, I get to choose where I want to go. I mean, I'd be like, some of the people at the most white bread ass high schools go to HBCUs and then feel like they like, or you know, what I'm saying, like Marcus Garvey when they come back. And I'd be
you went to Whitfield in high school, but now all of a sudden you blackity
and
black.
And I think it's like, I'd be like, yo, like, hey, everybody goes to school for the reasons they need to go to school to. I mean, I can make the same argument and say I went to a place where I was the vast minority and to prepare me for what that was going to be like.
It's all just different.
But it's all relative, though, right? And, like, I'm not really interested in that. And, like, you don't come at me like I'm not supporting my community by not giving my dollars to a black university, because quite frankly, I went to college where I could be the closest to my family because I had other things on the table I needed to be concerned about at the time I left to go away to school. So, literally, you cannot shame me for going to the best possible school I could go to. You can't.
Then on the other side, for those PDY people that clown the HBCU people, we can't talk about the financial aid department all the time. You know what I'm saying? And stuff like that. Like, it's all relative, man.
Yeah, I mean, everybody looks for, like, fracture points to try to exploit somebody. And it's like,
they're just trying to live, though.
The cultural infighting is the biggest injustice that we do to ourselves as a people.
100%.
Like, period. Like,
and that's the one white people haven't really jumped on yet. I think that's one of the fights that white people doesn't have.
They're not aware of it. Like, that shit and light skin, dark skin, like, completely escaped them.
I think they into, like, I've
talked to too many about it. They're really? Like, wait a minute. Y'all do what? Because, like, literally, that whole thing about I don't see color is bullshit, but I don't see colors within colors is not bullshit. Like, when you black, nigga, you black. Black,
regardless.
Like, and that. And
but that's weird because I think they do have,
but you know what white people's equivalency to it is, though, right? Socioeconomics. Like, rednecks versus people that are doing this.
But I think there is I do think white people do judge people that are darker over somebody light skinned more inherently different. Especially they big and dark. Like if they a big dark skinned dude, like shout out to Roy, like he walk in the room and I do, or even another guy that's light skinned that's a little bit that's around his size, it's gonna be a different feel.
Yeah, but
it's dark skinned big nigga.
But we
scary
still
nigga
about,
feel.
We still talking about black is black though. It isn't like we'll be sitting in the room and they'll be like treating you any different. Like they hated the fuck out of Obama. Some of them. Before I say that, I'm not saying all people did. But I'm just saying like
the ones that do hate.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah, I'm just saying that like the average person, like it's one of the more ridiculous things that we have and that we should know is ridiculous. That color struck bullshit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But like it's really ridiculous to them to the point where they're like, really? Like, seriously, that's a thing? Like, yeah, it's bullshit. It's a crazy thing. All right, man, mine. I think I've talked about this before. I'm not going to beat it into the ground. iPhone versus Android. It's got to fucking stop.
Because they all fucking phones.
It's a phone. You can communicate with people across the thing. It's like you got some shoes I don't like for adults.
And my thing is that I'm too old. I'm getting too old to even care about all the extra technology that either one of them do.
Don't give a fuck about half the things my phone does. Yeah. I just know what phone I like.
And it's and I probably only use half my apps.
I like the iPhone. Yeah. I like it. I've had both. I prefer the iPhone.
Cool.
That's it.
Keep it moving.
When the phone comes out, I am not looking at it like, yo, this one can shoot rainbow colored sparkle glitter out its ass. I don't care.
Yeah. I don't care. It's got 15 megapixels per second.
It doesn't matter to me at all, in the slightest. Don't care at all.
Yeah, that's a cool
one. Are you easy to use? And do you hold a charge? Yeah? All right, cool. We're good. Next up, what you got?
I got the OJ didn't do it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I thought at this point that
wait, is this an argument between us or between just the people as a whole?
The people as a whole.
Yes. Okay.
You know, OJ did it, y'all. We can go ahead and just get that. I think we can get that passed.
Boy, he did, but I ain't acting like it.
No. I still want to interview him. I still want to see what the juice got
to
say.
Yeah, man. He's still juice to me. Norbert.
But at the same time, we can still be honest about it and be like, yeah, man, he got away with that shit.
OJ did that shit.
Yeah. And we can still chill with it, and it is what it is.
I'm all right with it. I mean, OJ did it, though.
You said what now?
Like I'm all right with it. OJ did it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I'm not worried about it.
Not going to change anything about what goes on with me, like, in the latest. Next one, $200 dates. Now, that is a Twitter beef that's been going on for a little while where people like use
that's this. That's going to like the beginning of Twitter, too.
Yes, that's one that's lasted throughout the ages. You know what I'm saying? I can't even groove with Twitter like I used to anymore. Like, yeah. I just can't. It used to be like a place where it was like fun for conversation, but now it's just like a place for people to try to like one-up each other on trolling, and I can't get with that.
And one's like, I'm going to catch them slipping on saying something and like attack them and use them as a basis for my platform because I caught this random person saying some dumb shit.
Right. Like, you don't say dumb shit like all the rest of the time in your messages.
Ooh, I found somebody that said Kobe is overrated. Let me use them and just start getting on my campaign to say that Kobe is not overrated.
Mm-hmm.
But using this one, see, that's why I don't trust y'all motherfuckers. People out here saying that Kobe overrated. Look at this.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. And people act like assholes over it. And I'd be like, yeah, man, that doesn't matter to me. So anyway, there's no magical level that a date becomes a worthwhile date. Fuck what you heard. Mm-hmm. It ain't about the money. It's not about the money. It's about the time spent. It's about the person that you know, period, at the end of the day. If you feel like you need to go on a date to flex and floss, probably not a date you need to go on, quite honestly. And, like, and especially if you need to flex and floss on it against somebody that's not even fucking going on the date with you, who's a bubble on social media, and it gives you an opportunity to put up an Instagram post.
Might not be for you.
I don't think that this whole common sense thing is for you either. Like, I think that might not be a thing that's meant for you in life. So, you know, hey, God bless it, man. Go forward. But what you got, bro? All
right, my next one I have is, can we go ahead and stop with just the, I think that we do need to have a little bit more onus when it comes to us going to the moon. This whole moon thing, man.
You talking about getting high?
No, I'm talking about actually going to the moon. And more of anything, the flat earth thing, really. It's more of a flat earth conversation.
So geographical anomalies.
Geography and geography.
Okay, geology and geography anomalies. Okay.
Yes, we need to stop. Especially the main thing is it was flat earth. It started with the moon, but then it was more flat earth. Like the flat earth motherfuckers, man. Like, yo. If you can't prove it's not, I need you just to sit down until y'all got the technology to figure it out, to prove it that it is.
This really bothers you. Okay.
Yeah, man. Because you got dumb motherfuckers that listen to people like Kyrie Irving and stuff, though. Like, well, I mean, Kyrie said and that comes to that dumb bullshit just because you got money that your opinion means something.
Mm-hmm.
And that you're intelligent just because you have fucking money.
Kyrie Irving can't even make the Celtics good, so I don't want to hear anything about his.
But it's people that would be like, man, I mean, but Kyrie, you know, he did go to Duke for half a year.
At best.
And he got hurt for part, and I know he wasn't going to class while he was hurt.
No. I didn't even go to class when I was healthy in college, let alone hurt. So,
so you know he didn't.
No, no,
you he had didn't. A full injury.
Yeah, no, I was completely healthy.
Yeah, so
minus the hangover.
Minus the hangover.
I got another one then. Since we're gonna talk about sports, LeBron versus the world. Listen, LeBron worshippers are the worst people to follow on Twitter.
I think the Kobe stan is worse.
Wait, we'll get there.
Okay.
The second worst people are the Kobe people.
Okay.
And the only reason why they're the second worst is because Kobe's not playing right now. When he was playing,
they were number one.
They were number one by far. LeBron is taking on the title of being the captain and the hero of this new generation of fans that pick players over teams. Y'all weird in the light to me, man. Y'all look real funny in the light to me. People that are like, yo, I'm running with this player no matter where he go. Listen, man, I get it, and I ain't trying to, like, talk about you, like, as a human being, but that's a really weird way to go about sports for me because now it's got a lot of people looking real stupid. Like, LeBron James is not making the playoffs. Newsflash. He's not making the playoffs.
First time in his career since his
first
turn.
The best player in the NBA, allegedly, is not making the playoffs in the peak of his prime. I don't want to hear anything else about Michael Jordan because you know who else was flaming out and not making the playoffs in the best of their years? Kobe Bryant.
Shout out to Smush Parker.
You shouldn't be over 30 being an all-time great and not making the playoffs. You know who didn't have this problem? Tim Duncan.
Michael Jordan did.
Michael Jordan most definitely didn't. We don't even need to evoke him.
Well, with the Wizards. People
that doesn't fucking count. At the peak of his powers.
That was exhibition.
At the peak of his powers, the only reason he missed the finals was because he was suspended for gambling. AKA stop to play baseball. Right.
And drinking hard.
Here's the thing, like, stop muddying up what could be good sports discourse on social media by caping for these grown men. Check it out. They don't fucking need you to do it. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't need to be on the internet fighting over these dudes at a rate.
They're not your friend either.
They would walk past you in the streets if they saw you.
Like, not your friend is the main thing.
Like, you would put your hand out to, and they probably would be like, oh, I gotta be somewhere, bro. Like, come on, man.
Didn't Kobe say he had no friends either?
Yeah, Kobe don't like nobody. Kobe don't even.
Right, and y'all cape for this motherfucker.
Yeah, I mean, because it's hero worship. Like, stop it, man. Like, stop it. But at the same time, hey, yo, Jordan people. Like, hey, here's the thing. Like, if you're confident you got something, you don't need to, like, take every second to knock these cats that had careers after Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. Like, Michael Jordan hasn't played for the Chicago Bulls in 21 years. It's been 21 years since the last time
he won Chicago Bulls. A new king rule.
Yo, let him go, man. Let it go. Like, just be good enough to know. I remember growing up when I thought Michael Jordan's the shit. I don't remember my daddy being like, yo, he ain't shit compared to Dr. J.
No, like Will Chamberlain.
He was like, no, he was like, he's hooping. And he'd be like, hey, but you need to know what Oscar Robertson was about, too. You need to know what these cats was about. Like, stop being angry and chasing ghosts. Like, y'all are fucking up sports discourse on the internet. And, like, a lot of times I expect for people that aren't, like, truly, like, into the game, like, I am doing it for a living and stuff like that. Like, I give leeway for that. Like, that's cool. But y'all are killing it. You are killing casual sports conversation by trying to always have a conversation about who's the best, who's the GOAT, who's this, who's doing that. Like, stop ranking people and just take people for what they are.
But I think some of them conversations have always been happening, though. It's just that you only got them when you went to the barbershop or went to your boy crib. Now it's just inundated with those constantly.
Oh, no, it's a real thing. That's real. Now, that's real. But even in the barbershop, though, you still get a chance to put people on the spot. Because like, even at the barbershop right now, yeah, you still got to do. Now people sit there and, like, craft up messages and, like, just, it's the worst.
I mean, we had a whole fight almost over the Kobe thing, though, with the Meet Me in Temecula shit.
Yeah. Kobe almost started a fight in real life.
One dude drove an hour and a half to fight another dude.
Over a grown man.
Over Kobe. His love for Kobe and the Lakers.
Next.
Man, that's it, man, for me.
All right, man. I got one more.
Go ahead.
Yo, man, get off people for dating white women.
Ooh.
Get off people for dating
white men. White men, too.
Like, yo, it's not your job to be the culture police. It ain't your job to do that, man. Like, trust me, it ain't easy to find that person. You're going to go through a lot of people to figure it out. Just because somebody decided to date somebody else don't mean that they have abandoned the culture and now they're an enemy of the state. Like,
Yeah.
And every time you see somebody, like most recently, I thought about this one because Joel Embiid popped up with chick on him in the thing. And it's like, oh, he couldn't find him or this. You know all the statements. Mm-hmm. You know all the comments. You know, why couldn't he this? Oh, he couldn't find him or that. Listen, let me open this up for you. Joel Embiid can find anything he wants to. He's a multimillionaire NBA All-Star. He can have the pick of the litter of anything under 40 years old. Believe that. He decided to get with a fairer-skinned Brazilian chick who automatically got relegated to being white because that's what she looked like on first contact. Yo, we got to stop being mad at people and fighting over people's racial commitment just based over who it is that they date. Like, maybe you ain't want to do it. Maybe you didn't want to do it. That's cool. Whatever. Like, date who you want to date. But again, date who you want to date. Like, we got to stop being so quick to, like, impose what we believe is on everybody. Like, right now, we are as self-righteous right now of a people as I've ever seen in any point.
Oh, 100%.
In my life.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I just wonder how much this energy can survive. What's that state? What's that thing people say? Keep that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
How long can you keep this energy up to be so concerned about things that don't affect you at all? And then when there's so many things that do affect you to be concerned about, like, you know what I'm saying? Like civil rights, like uniting behind a common cause at the ballot. You know, when it's time to cast your vote. Like, but everybody's gotten so self-righteous, we can't even figure out a way to do that together. Like, come on, man. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Be cool. Like, what is one thing we can agree on? Well, that fried chicken is fucking delicious? Because it is. It's delicious. Like, I want us to take the same ability to agree with each other on something like that as we can do with that. Like, I'm cool if we bicker a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, one thing we don't bicker about is that, yo, Popeyes is more fire than KFC. Like, let's just kind of take that approach to, like, the things that, like, are, like, little bitty things that don't matter that are dividing us.
I agree. But I do disagree with, like, when we had this week. What do we call that one? This weekend, what you call it?
This weekend, Jesse?
No, when the brother that and his, they was the light-skinned babies joint.
Oh, we never talked about that on air.
We never did?
No.
Oh, we never talked about it. I thought we talked about that.
No, we talked about that personally. Now, that's shit I can get mad at. Like, the rehash of story is the dude that said he was dating white women because he wanted light-skinned kids.
No, they did a toast, and his girlfriend put up a post. They said out loud, toasting all to make us all making more light skinned babies. It was all black dudes and white girls.
Yeah, so it's like a cult. It's a subsect.
Yeah,
like toast to all of us making more light skinned babies. Like, first of all, as a second generation light skinned person, yo, and shout out to my grandfather. It would have been his 100th birthday today. Appreciate you paving the way for me becoming what I am today. Thanks, but no thanks. We don't need that kind of disingenuous bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, if it just happens out of natural order, all good.
Yeah.
But, hey, don't be going out of your way to try to manipulate the game.
And that's where I have my issue with.
And I have a problem with that.
That's where I would have my issue with.
I do have a problem with intentional breeding. That's some Aryan Nation bullshit right there.
Yeah, I do have issues with that. I do have issues with people when they say, like, yo, I don't like it. They don't like their own race, too.
Oh yeah, if you
I don't date black girls. Like, ah, man, I mean, I'm down with you loving whoever, but you didn't hit me to the line with that.
I don't like that. Anybody is like, I don't date this, I don't date that because I don't, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't like this. Like, nah, I'm cool on
you
that.
You hit me on the line with that.
I'm real cool on that. Like, anything you are intentionally discriminating against, I don't
and
rock
the crazy
with
thing is, I don't know the me, and to me it feels like I've had brothers tell me that with pride and shit, though. Like, man, I don't be fucking with no black girl. They be like, yo, you know you just, like, you said that confidently. Like, I was supposed to be like, hell yeah. And I was like, nah.
Like, hey, bro.
Nah, man.
Hey, bro.
Do you remember who I am?
I'm like, never going to co-sign that book.
Never. Never.
Like, I'm never going to co-sign
Never going to co-sign some shit like that.
Like, my mother.
Black women way too much.
My mother's black.
Yeah, I love black women way too much.
My wife's going to be black.
Yeah.
My kids are going to be black.
Maybe.
They don't stand up. Thank you. You're a second generation light skinned breeder yourself. As you try to throw me out on the thing. Your daughter is
light skinned.
3.5 feet tall and 100% black. Yeah. In and out. Exactly. So I feel like I can't wait to, like, recreate the Mike Lowry skit.
That's real.
Who this nigga at the door?
James.
Ain't got to be about 30.
Hey, that clip is going to keep on living for a long time.
That's another consensus thing for us.
Yeah. Man, well, thank y'all for listening. As always, email us straight, olc@gmail.com. You can make sure you go check out the OG Hour as well on this platform. You can get it anywhere. All that stuff you can get everywhere you get podcasts at. We on YouTube. We on Spotify. We on Podbeam. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're on TuneIn app. We're on, literally every iHeartRadio. We're on everywhere you can get your podcast at.
Yo, go if you can consume it, we there, man.
Yeah.
Hey, yo, keep supporting. Yeah. I'm going to tell you what I said earlier in the show. Like, business is about to pick up. I'm talking about if you into, maybe you into all the things we talk about. Maybe you into just a few of them. Literally, we getting ready to have something that covers every basis. It ain't always going to be your boys. We might drop in every once in a while, but we got, believe it or not, we got more cats just like us. This is coming, is coming at you, man. Shout out
different topics and things like that, that, you know, different perspectives as well.
Shout out to Javon Bibbs back in the area.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely putting Javon back into a new, what's the easiest way to put this? Into like a new pocket. Like, yeah, it's going to be like a new area for the, like, really highlight.
It's
going to
be like the, if everybody's ever seen, if you want to Google it, the Playboy, remember the Playboy Club TV show? Where Hugh Hefner had the little TV show and people were performing a little box and it'd be all the little kids around them and stuff like that. That's how Javon's show was going to be, like a little cigar smoking niche area just for all the people that love comedy like that.
Yeah, man. But that's coming soon, man. We got like a lot of other stuff coming, man. But so, you know, keep rocking with us. We got, hey, we got new brackets coming soon. We got a couple things we just getting ready to get done. I'm about to launch a new project in about a week and a half that's going to be really dope. I can't wait to share that with folks, you know what I'm saying? But we got a lot of things coming at you, man. So
yeah,
stick with your boys, man. Next level, next this year.
All right, see y'all soon. Peace.